Let's add to the fun and bring in another voice of Cleveland. You know him. You love him for the national stuff he does, though. A little bit more, I think. How about he was in England the other day? Man, this guy's all
over
the place.
Dude gets around.
He is Chris Rose, and we love him. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
Chris?
Good. How was my guy, John Ireland? He's always good.
John was outstanding.
Yeah. He does a really good job for them.
You know, he and Jeff are very, very close. They're tight.
Did not know that.
Yeah, Jeff, give him the background. You guys worked in the same market.
I worked at the NBC. He worked at the ABC in Beaumont, Texas.
Oh, I love that.
How about that?
When your paths cross about 90 years later. That's awesome.
Took a trip to Vegas together. Lost money.
Oh, my God.
Lost money.
I don't know if we need to hear the rest of the story on this one.
Yeah.
Couple things, Chris. I do want to get to the Browns in a second, but I was, you know, as always, I follow you on Instagram, and you caught my eye yesterday when you were like, oh, man, the Yankees have really disappointed us in the World Series. But then last night they came back. They made you eat your words a little bit last night. What do you think?
Yeah, it was nice to actually get some semblance of a series, and we'll see if they make it more interesting. I know that Cleveland fans aren't very interested in hearing that aspect of it, but once we were eliminated, I was kind of fascinated by a matchup we hadn't seen in more than four decades. And although some of the games were close, it just felt like there was a serious lack of energy from New York ever since Freddie Freeman hit the walk-off grand slam in game one. Obviously, things went a little bit different last night. Dodgers using their B-list bullpen for the most part. And we'll see what happens tonight. Could be fascinating.
Chris,
as long as those two jerks aren't allowed back in the stadium.
How about that, man? I thought he was going to steal his glove at one point when he watched the replay. I'm like, what's this guy doing?
Yeah, I think the most disturbing part of it all is that according to one ESPN Jesse Rogers report, those two guys said they were told by the Yankees brass that they could come back for tonight. Like, there's no way in the world those guys should be allowed anywhere near there. And one of them is a season ticket holder. I'd revoke their season tickets. I wouldn't want anything to do with them. They're not. I can't believe I'm giving them any more pub than need be. But here's the way it would play out. They'd be back in their seats tonight. Fox would show them 18 times. Mm-hmm. They'd end up getting a podcast of their own. And all of a sudden, we'd twist this around where somehow they're becoming famous for being jerks.
So what?
Gee, that's never happened before.
Dan and I had a conversation before I went back and watched the replay of it again today. Like, what is a fan's right there? Like, because they went way over the line. They were like, take the ball out of the glove. Well, I mean, like, that's ridiculous. But I do think that if you're a fan and it's the opposite team, and although this would be to steal a home run, not a foul. Well, no, even on a foul ball because it's still an out. That you, as a fan, maybe you should yell and scream or try to distract them from catching the ball because you're trying to help your team. But those guys cross the line.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. Don't rip a ball out of somebody's glove like that. That's number one. Number two is do not grab a body part of somebody that's playing in a game.
Well played.
I love the quotes that these guys have. They're like, we're the defenders of the wall. I was like, oh, really? Like, you're on the Yankees payroll and enrolled in their 401k? That's awesome. Maybe other teams should look into hiring fans, you know, to be the protectors of the wall. Like, you guys, and one of you idiots is wearing sunglasses at night. Like, don't sleep on that part.
That's great. It's the crapshoot of baseball. The middle of that Yankee lineup was so terrific against the Guardians, and it's been so pedestrian, I guess, against the Dodgers. It's one of the things I love about the game. We know where this series stands right now. Do you think the Dodgers are a significantly better team than the Yankees, or do you think they're just comparable and they've won three or four?
Oh, I do think they're better. They're a better team, and they're a better organization. I mean, the Dodgers are really doing this without a bunch of guys that would be helping them. And their stars are more consistent, it feels like. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's going on with Aaron Judge. I mean, this isn't a 2024 thing. This is a real, like, Barry Bonds before 2002 playoff sort of struggle for him. He still, you know, listen, they could rip off four in a row, be the first team in the World Series era to ever come back from a 3-0 deficit and you know, maybe things can change. But that's, I think, rather alarming for a lot of fans out there. But I do just think, I think the Dodgers are a better organization than the Yankees. I'm not saying the Yankees are a bad organization. I just think that they got an incredibly easy run. I should say, I'm not going to say easy. I'm going to say the easiest run they've had to a World Series since 2009. What I mean by that is, if you were to line up the 15 years of teams they had to face in order to try and get to the World Series, this was the easiest. Some year has to be the hardest. Some year has to be the easiest. If you were to have combined the lineups of the Guardians and the Royals, the two teams that the Yankees beat, take the best players out of those teams, it's still not as good as the Dodgers. That's not being mean. That's just, those are facts. And we'll see.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's go Browns. Are you, not that you would ever leave the bandwagon, but do you, are you a little bit more excited about the Browns after what we witnessed on Sunday moving forward? I know the odds are slim of them seeing the postseason, but I got to tell you, it felt really good to walk out of that stadium on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it looked like an offense. You know, that was the most reassuring thing here, is that they looked like a professional operation. There's nothing more difficult to watch in sports than when your offense stinks. Like, it is hard. In order to do my prep for the Patriots-Jags, I had to watch every New England game. That was brutal.
Sorry about that.
Until Drake May got in there. And then they started to look like a real offense. I love Jacoby Brissett. There just aren't enough playmakers up there to make him look like a solid starting quarterback. He did here when he started the first 11 games in 2022. He was throwing the ball downfield, all sorts of stuff. That didn't happen in New England for the first five games, and it was a mess here. Now, if we want to talk about why that is, okay.
Why?
I think we all know why.
Yeah. Tell me this. What's your gut tell you who's the starting quarterback of this team next year? Is it somebody?
I don't know.
Well, is he even on this roster?
So here's what I can answer. Jameis has given us reason to be excited, okay? And I get that.
Amen.
But it's like when you've been eating fast food every day for a year. And then all of a sudden, you go to like a three-star restaurant, maybe four. And you're like, nice. Oh my God, this food is incredible.
Wait, is the baked potato with a meal or is it a la carte? That's the difference.
That all depends.
Yeah.
So Jameis has always been a fun guy to watch when he's not on your team, because he'll keep his team in the game and the other team in the game. Like, he is the greatest coin flip quarterback in the history of the sport. What guy hits 30-30 in the NFL touchdown to interception ratio world? It just does not happen. It's incredible that he was able to do that.
With 5,000 yards.
It's one of the greatest sports feats in history.
Yeah.
And he could have been picked off four times on Sunday. Like, that's part of the deal. Now, some people will say, well, Lamar could have been picked off four times. I get it. Yeah, Denzel had his hands on one. MJ had his hands on one. Yes, it definitely could have happened. But let's be serious here. We're not going to compare what Lamar Jackson brings to the table compared to what Jameis Winston does. Is he a capable starter? Yes, I think he's a capable starter. Is he the guy that can win you a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Then there's no shot at that. I don't think there's a lot of guys that can. But I really, you know, and people say, well, Nick Foles did it. I get it. That was like worlds coming together that year. I just don't, and let's remember, the Eagles didn't bank on him being the starter. Carson Wentz blew out his knee late in the season, and that's why Nick Foles ended up being the guy. It just, he's given us a lot of hope, because based on what we had to sit through the first 7 weeks or 6 weeks of the year.
Sure.
And that is beneficial to us as fans. But if we're trying to look big picture, and we'll deal with it in the offseason, I don't know if that's the route you want to go necessarily.
Okay, Chris, I want to go back to something that you had said earlier and just talk about London for a second, because you were just there and you had, I mean, you had 2-1-5 teams at the time too. How was it? And in particular, how long did it take you to get there from Los Angeles as we look about, you know, the future and trying to have more, obviously having more games there, especially if we had 18, just, you know, what would make it easier and where are we headed with this thing? What do you think?
All right, you got to repeat the back half of that question. I kind of zoned out for a second.
That's okay, me too, because it was too long and I was trying to figure out where I was going with it. But I know exactly where I'm going. What, when we talk about the NFL in London or anywhere in Europe, like, how can they make it easy on the teams and make it work? Because Jeff and I talk about this a lot. And then the other question I had, I know that it was Jacksonville, New England, but you had to come from L.A. How long did it take you to get there?
Well, I could just tell you, my wife and I went together to London. We arrived on, we flew Wednesday afternoon, so we left here at 4 o'clock. You just can't, you know, there's really odd times for flying. So when you leave at 4 o'clock and it's a 9.5-hour flight, it's hard to kind of fall asleep. We did not sleep on the plane. We were not right until Monday, till after the game.
Wow.
Like, we couldn't. Now, part of that, I got to be honest with you, part of it was I was watching Guardians games at 3:30 in the morning. Like, I, you know, what was I supposed to do? Try and sleep while my team's fighting for a spot in the World Series? That wasn't happening. So, but
if it makes you feel better, I did the same thing for opening day, and I was sitting in Italy. So I was up in the middle of the night doing the same thing and the eclipse. So you're not alone, my friend. You're not alone.
Yeah. So I don't understand how the players are able to do it when they, like, the Patriots got there on Friday morning for a Sunday game. You know, just, and we talked to him on Saturday. We talked to a handful of the players. They said, yeah, they're a little tired, but it wasn't bad for them. Like, they were able to get through it. I guess that's what happens when you're 30 years younger than an out of shape dad bod guy. But as far as big picture, will it work? Will there ever be, are you asking me, will there ever be a full time team there?
Yeah. I mean, how's it? Basically.
I think there's a ton of logistical stuff that has to happen in order for that to, because just think about it. Like, if you got a team in London, they would have to come over here and play like 3 straight weeks. Right?
Right.
And then when you're sending teams over there a week at a time, if you're sending the Rams over there to go play the London whatevers, the London Big Bens, you're asking the Rams to do what I just did, and I just told you that my body wasn't right until like 4 or 5 days later. So that's a huge advantage for the team that lives there full time. Let's not even get into the, well, how do we get free agents there? What does the salary cap look like for that team? Is it really fair to draft kids over to a foreign country that is, you know, 5 or 8 hours away from what they're used to living in? Like, there's a lot of things that would need to be answered.
Faster planes. That's all we need.
Yeah.
That'll make it work. Yeah. Chris, as always, you know we love talking to you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, boys. Always enjoyable.
We love it. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Rose on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.